Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Dota Obs podcast. I am your host, Bobo. For today's episode, we are going to touch on mechanics, better known as the inner workings of Dota 2. We're going to do our best to not go into too much depth because the back end of this game is like a labyrinth. You could look at it basically a labyrinth you can easily get lost in. There are a ton of aspects to the mechanics of this game. Some are simple and straightforward, others are complex, and you can quickly, you know, almost seemingly dive down a rabbit hole in because, you know, so many of them are so intertwined, they can easily get lost and confused in just this sea of information. So we will not be going over all of the mechanics of the game. That would kind of be information overload, and frankly, probably be too boring, honestly. And plus, it would just take way too long. So today, we are going to go over gameplay mechanics. And in the previous episodes, up until this point, I've alluded to a lot of gameplay mechanics, such as pushing and ganking, you might have heard me say. So from the many gameplay mechanics, I'm going to try to touch on just a few of them. I'm going to go over ganking, and then pushing, and harassing. And there are others later on that we'll try to touch on as well. So let's start on ganking. Ganking primarily happens in the early game. A gank, to get like a more, you know, hard definition, is when a hero will rotate from their lane to ambush an isolated enemy in order to gain an early game advantage. Positions that will commonly gank in the early game are the mid player, which is position 2, and the soft support slash roamer, which is position 4. So the risk with ganks is counter-initiation. Well, one of the risks with ganks is counter-initiations. After you ambush a hero, you use all your spells to kill the enemy, and then another member of their team has TP'd in, and then they can punish your team for a favorable outcome. So, like, you know, you use everything on them, they barely get away with just a little bit of health, and you try to chase them, and then all of a sudden two more of their heroes come back, and now they do kind of a counter initiation on your team, but you've used all of your spells, exhausted all of your resources, now you're in a pretty bad predicament. And then obviously, you know, another risk to not getting kill it, or to the gank failing, is you don't get a kill, and therefore you waste a lot of time doing it. The reward is getting a kill and making space for your carry or team while continuing to enhance your own momentum. And so one way to look at and see kind of what makes or gives a hero ganking ability or gank potential is usually they have some form of disable, either a stun or a slow to help ensure the kill. Another common thing is they'll have a lot of mobility with it. They'll be able to close out space really fast. And thirdly, they'll be able to initiate, and this kind of is in conjunction with both of like the previous things that I said, is they'll be able to initiate from a long ways away. So the easiest example is Earthshaker's Fisher. The reason why he's is a pretty good roamer, although right now he's not played as a 4 hardly at all, but for a long time he was a good roamer. Let's not do Earthshaker. Let's do Earth Spirit. Earth Spirit's a great example. His rolling boulder. If you watch a pro game, you'll almost always see Earth Spirit in every single one because his kit is so good that he can initiate from very far away. He throws down his boulder, he rolls into it, and then he can initiate like seemingly across the whole screen. And then it's a stun. He's right on top of the hero instantly, and then he has another ability where he can either kick them back to you or silence the opposing hero, so the hero can't get away and they're already slowed. So that's like one example and one way to see if a hero has gank potentials, looking at their kit and looking at how mobile they are and what spells they have to use on the opposing heroes. And then just a few heroes that have gank potential are, as I mentioned, Earthshaker and Earth Spirit, Puck, Monkey King, Storm Spirit, Clockwork, and Nyx Assassin. There are a ton more, but those are a few of the ones available. All right, now let's move on to pushing. Pushing, this more so starts to become a focus mid and late game. And obviously, this strategy focuses on pressuring lanes and destroying buildings. And ultimately, this strategy is what wins you the game because obviously you need to push and take the objectives in order to destroy the enemy's ancient for victory. The most common dilemma that I've personally experienced and seen is when to push. Some teams will have their power spike later in the game, while other teams can start pressuring towers earlier, depending on the makeup of their team. And if you push at a bad time or with limited vision, the enemy can punish you quickly, then counter push your team after killing several heroes, and you have no response. So it's always a risk because if you push at a bad time, the repercussions of it can actually be very drastic. And then before you know it, you've lost two towers or you've lost a whole racks. And now you find yourself at a very big deficit. The biggest benefit to pushing is obviously making more space on the map. The more towers you take outside of their base, the less vision they have and places to teleport to. It becomes increasingly difficult to move out and place vision in parts of the map when the enemy has very limited vision or is not already out there. If they have to walk out from their base into darkness, it's very daunting. And especially if you have to walk uphill, I don't know, in my experience, most of the time, I just assume that there's a hero up there or they have vision already up there. And the enemy is already aware and coming to kill me if I am trying to place vision there or move through the jungle there. And another big thing with why pushing and taking the towers is so, or not only is taking towers good, but then your creep waves will push further down the lanes. And if you see a creep wave pushed all the way towards their base, you know that the enemy team is not there yet because one of the highest priorities is just killing the creeps in each lane to get yourself gold experience and to push out lanes. And the further creep wave pushes in, that's even less space that the enemy has on the map. So usually a good time to push is after a one team fight or successful gank, or under good vision where you can see opposing heroes approaching or teleporting. You still can try to push without vision. It's very daunting, and honestly, it just makes your life so much easier. If you can just see the information from observer wards alone is invaluable. Because even if the war is in a very obvious place and the enemy knows it, but your team has control over the vision as you're pushing the tower, that is also a good time to push. And you don't even have to necessarily take the tower, but you can pressure the lane to try to create some action on the map. You can do this to create more space for your carry. So you can have your three or four of your team pushing a tower while your carry's farming, and then you're imposing on the enemy, either come fight us or try to find our one carry in the jungle or push out other lanes. And this is where a lot more strategy comes into Dota. The more experience you get, the more you'll learn when is a good time to respond to a push lane, or sometimes even trade towers. This is still one thing, like for me, honestly, is still kind of hard to wrap my head around because, especially in lower MMR, you never want to lose a tower. If a tower is being pressured, it's usually first, reaction to go there and defend it. And I think most of the time that's not a bad thing to do. You just have to be aware of like how many heroes are there that you know are there or even are guessing there. Because if all the heroes are missing on the map and one hero is pushing tower, usually that's a good, there's indication that it's like, yeah, I see one hero there, but everybody else on the map is missing. So therefore, it's pretty safe to say that they have two or three or maybe their whole team behind this one hero ready to counter initiate as soon as they see somebody else TP into the tower. That's just one small example though. There's a myriad of other possibilities that can happen, but usually just trying to keep it simple, usually push after a team fight, after a one team fight, successful gank, or under good vision where you have information to go off of. Bad times to push, and so usually no vision is pretty hard to push into. As I said, you can push into it if you're confident of where you know their team is, or if you see their whole team pushing one of your towers, then you can trade right there. But usually pushing with no vision is pretty daunting and can be really hard to do. So don't pushing with no vision, or you see they have as many heroes as your team or more under their tower, or you're overextending. So what I mean by these is when heroes are under their tower, they get a small armor buff And they just have a tower that's constantly attacking your team as you fight under there. If and you can try to go for a good initiation on their team, like a good like if you get a good catch, if you can burst down one hero really quick, then that could be a good time to just take a team fight, then take the tower right after. It can be hard to pull off, especially early in the game, so you have to get a very good initiation, but it's very risky. And again, the risk with that is you miss or mess up or the hero lives, then your whole team now is in a is in kind of a jeopardizing spot. Another hard time to do it is when you're trying to kill a hero or you're trying to get vision up and then you start overextending to them. That can also be daunting to push into them because, you know, as your team, before you know it, their team runs back and now they've had enough time to respond and gather up. And now they can turn around, counter initiate your team, and therefore, you know, quickly kill off one of your heroes. And then that, now they can perform a counter push after they've killed a lot of heroes on your team. These are just, again, and obviously these are very specific situations I'm talking about and very general, small examples, but these are at least supposed to give you an idea of when you can at least know when to push or when not to push, or at least help you make a better decision on when to, you know, on which strategies to perform during your Dota games. So some heroes that have good push: Shadow Shaman, Klinks, Leshrac, Death Prophet, Beastmaster, Pugna, and Lycan. For a hero to push well, they usually have some form of summoning abilities. So they have like other units they can bring into the game. They'll have AoE damage to creep waves from a safe di distance or damage directly to towers. It's because some heroes will have good AoE damage, but that won't affect towers. But that could be good because then they could just hurry, clear the creep wave fast, and then it makes room for your creep wave to start hitting their tower, and then your hero to hit their tower as well. Some heroes have abilities that directly damage towers with that sometimes will do reduced damage or even more damage to towers, depending on the hero. Leshrac is a great pushing hero. He clears waves, and that's one of his like innate strengths, is just to push. And Death Prophet, obviously, as I alluded to, her ults, they all of her spears just keep hitting the tower. You could just stand there and let her spears do the work. All right, let's move on to harassing now. Harassing is pretty straightforward. You bully the opposing hero as much as you can. When you are support, you bully the opposing off lane to make space for your carry so they can last hit and have more space. You do this by spamming your spells and right clicking them as much as possible. And same idea goes for the off lane as well, except for you focus on the carry and deny them as many creeps as possible. You basically want to slow the carry's farm as much as you possibly can and then try to pester the carry as much as possible as well, and just keep trying to bully them out of lane, push them back under their tower, and just try to dominate the creep wave as much as you can. You can use that by either right-clicking them. A lot of offlaners are, or traditional offlaners, will be very tanky, so they'll be very big and imposing, and they will usually have a lot of health, so they can just trade a lot more with the opposing hero, and they may lose the same amount of HP, but they'll still have more HP than the opposing carry by the end of the trade. So then the opposing carry therefore has to pull back. Just one small example. A common trait in heroes that have great harassing capability are ones that have what are called a castable attack modifier. And what this means is their normal attack is changed to have extra damage or place a modifier on the opposing hero in some way. These attack modifiers do not draw creep aggro when casted manually on the hero, making them harder to play against in lane. So what that means is you're basically directly casting a spell every time on the opposing hero. And spells, whenever you cast a spell in Dota, they never draw creep aggro. So that's what makes a castable attack modifier so good in lane, because you can be standing right next to the creep wave, and you could be casting these modifiers on the opposing hero, and the creeps will not be attacking you, so you can be standing right next to them in a favorable position and just keep whittling them down as much as possible, pestering them, bullying them, and you know, just making their laning stage a total nightmare. Some examples of heroes that are good at harassing in lane are Sniper, Huskar, Silencer, Viper, Bristleback, Kunkka, Klinks, and Batrider. all of these heroes will have one of these characteristics. They will either have a castable attack modifier, which we just they went over what those are, or they will have a long range attack, meaning they will be able to trade with you a lot easier in lane because they're so far away. They'll be in a lot more favorable position to attack you, or just to try to make trades as often as they can and basically try to pester you out of lane. Or they will have a built-in passive that helps with survivability or trading hits in lane. Some sort of ability where it either increases their tankiness, like gives them more armor or magic resistance, or it will place a modifier on you that will like do damage to you over time, or something basically that deters you from trading hits with them directly in lane. Mechanics are a staple in Dota. For the most part, they never really change. The way you go about them might, such as, pulling or stacking or pushing, and just like how you implement those strategies, that will change because the heroes will change throughout the metas. The map may change, the creep camps may move, or, something along those lines. But for the most part, the mechanics will stay the same. The better you understand these mechanics, the better your Dota comprehension will increase. You will better know how to abuse little advantages during parts of the game. I understand, learning about mechanics is not exactly glamorous, and always the best way to learn is by actually playing the game and experiencing these mechanics for yourself and seeing them in action. But to me, knowing about these aspects can save you time and already improve your game by that much more because you already have an idea of what these mechanics do and how people use them and what mechanic is being used right at that moment. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to another episode of the Dota Ops podcast. Some good news, the website is up and running now, so you can find it at dotaobs.com and it is spelled dotaobs.com. Basically just how it says on the podcast itself. The website right now, it's definitely nothing special. It's just started, it's just up and running. I'm continually adding content on there and getting these episodes pushed on there and typing out, parts of the episode and adding some visuals on there so you have more content to see and to work with. So as time goes on, the website will improve both with functionality and just overall, and just having it look better overall. It will act as a hub that you can go to for more info and find all these episodes, as well as supporting this channel, should you feel so inclined as well, and it would be a great help. Thank you so much again for taking the time to listen. Good luck and have fun in your future games.